So when I was growing up, there were two shows. I'm going to date myself now. There were two shows that I watched religiously. One was Superman, and one was Batman. And I could not wait until those shows were on TV. And I would say probably Batman was more my favorite, or maybe it was Robin. I think I had a little bit of a crush on Robin. And so, you know, kids always kind of dream about wanting to meet their action hero, right? And so my dad had met the Lone Ranger when he was a kid, when he was sick in the hospital. And so when I found out that Batman was going to be at our community Easter egg hunt, man, I was like over the moon, because maybe Robin would be there too, you know? So I couldn't think of anything else for days. I was so excited. And the big day came, and there were a ton of people. And I kept thinking, maybe he's going to show up in the Batmobile. That would be awesome, wouldn't it? And so all of a sudden, you hear the crowds cheering, and here comes Batman, here comes Batman. And he pulls up, and he's in a Cadillac. So disappointing. And then he greets everyone. He's like, "Hello, kids." And I'm like, "Wait a minute. That's not Batman's voice. That is an imposter. His suit doesn't even fit him right. And he's got a beer belly. That is not, wait a minute, that's not Batman." So disappointing, so disappointing. Why I thought Batman would come to an Easter egg hunt in Montville, Connecticut, I'm not really sure, but that shows you the innocence of children. And then that, I think I was kind of disappointed in the real Batman. How dare you not come to our Easter egg hunt? What some action hero. Anyway, the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about what it means to take action. What does it mean by the words "action required"? For the Apostle Luke, the gospel is about action. And so he talks about action as being this vital part of the Christian journey. It can be complex, or it can be simple, as we want to make it. And speaking of that, do you remember the question that Pastor Paul asked you last week? What was it, Christian? He asked you, what simple thing are you going to do this week? Do you remember that? So, did you do anything? You're saying yes, okay. All right. Well, we're going to talk about it a little bit more today, so you guys are going to really have it in your heads by the end of this month. All right. So if you didn't do something, what kept you from doing it? You forgot? There's a bunch of other reasons, maybe. So we're going to explore that a little bit today. So I want to tell you a story. There was this guy who came home from the bars one Saturday, and because he'd had too much to drink, he decided to walk home. And he was walking along the east side of Riverside when all of a sudden, two guys jumped out and jumped him, grabbed his wallet, and beat him to a pulp. So he was, basically, they left him bleeding on the sidewalk, leaving him for dead. Some people driving home from a church event saw him laying on the sidewalk, looked at him, and kept on driving. Next, a pastor drove by on his way to a hospital emergency call. He took one look at the guy laying on the sidewalk, and he thought, "Well, what can I do? I don't have time. I've got to go to the hospital. I'll call 911. taking care of my congregation is more than I can handle anyway. I can't, you know, spend more time taking care of anybody that I see. Then all of a sudden comes along a homeless guy on a bicycle. He was smelly and dirty. He stopped to see what was going on with the guy who got beat up. But he realizes, what am I going to do? I just got a bicycle. What am I going to do for this guy? So he called a couple of his friends, and they came down, and together they took him to their spot under the overpass and tended to his wounds until he regained strength. Of course, I made up that story, but it could have happened. It could have happened. What keeps us from helping others? What keeps us from jumping into action? This story of the Good Samaritan is a pretty familiar story to us, isn't it? And often when we hear this story, we hear a lot about who is my neighbor. That ends up being the concentration of the story. But today I'm going to go in a little bit different direction. Because if we look at the text and how it begins, it starts with this question to Jesus. What must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus says, well, what does the law say? And the legal expert answers, you must love the Lord with all your heart, with all your being, soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus answers, you've answered correctly. Do this and you will live. And then, of course, the guy asked Jesus, so who is my neighbor? And Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan, this unlikely hero of the story. This guy's traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, which is a very, very dangerous road. Danielle and I traveled that road in a bus when we were in Israel last year. There is nothing there but hills and dirt. And it was known as Bloody Way because of how dangerous it was, because there were these hills that robbers would hide behind and would attack people traveling. It was the only way to go from Jericho in the Dead Sea area up to Jerusalem and back. So this guy gets robbed. He's left for dead, naked. And this Levite and priest both come, they take one look at him, and they cross to the other side of the road. What'd they do that for? Did they have company coming for dinner? Were they leaving on vacation? Did they have all these other responsibilities? Were they afraid? Some commentaries say it was because the man was bloody, and they were priests and Levites who had a law forbidding them to be near blood, to touch blood. And so they may have steered clear of him because of the uncleanness of the blood. But then I was thinking, well, couldn't they just do this ritual cleansing that you do? I don't know. Couldn't they have helped him and then gone through this ritual cleansing bath? I don't know. Maybe they didn't want to bother. They used legalism as their way out. And we use outs all the time. So in our story, we can kind of possibly see three outs. The first one, it's dangerous. If they were to stop and help, you know, they could have been attacked. It's risky. And besides, this guy brought this on himself, right? He's traveling alone on a dangerous road. Maybe he deserved to get robbed. I don't know. Maybe the guy coming home from the bars deserved to get robbed. He deserved what happened to him. He was on this dangerous, risky road. He should have known better. Second, he was unclean. We meet people all the time that are unclean, people that are less than desirable. We don't want to associate with those kind of people. Third, maybe they thought their pity and their prayers were enough. Oh, this guy's in bad shape. Well, I'll just pray for him. Prayers are good, but not if they keep us from doing what we need to do. So Jesus makes it clear in this passage. He uses action words twice. He says, do this and you will live. And then at the end, he says, go and do likewise. I think sometimes we see suffering around us and we can get desensitized to it. We can rationalize it. We can say that we're not good enough. It's not going to make a difference anyway. There are all kinds of things that we put up as roadblocks to help people. Now, we all know Mr. Rogers and Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, and we know how he always talked about helping others. But what you might not know about Mr. Rogers is he didn't just talk about it, he lived it. And I want to show you a clip.
Having the right neighbor in the right place at the right time can make all the difference. Just ask Steve Hartman.
Oh my God.
Whenever evil claims a victory, as it did in Manchester, people search for words of hope. And this past week, that search led many back deep into their childhood to Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, of all places.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor.
It was Mr. Fred Rogers who once said, when I was a boy and I would see scary things in the news, my mother would say to me, look for the helpers. You will always find people who are helping. Thousands shared that quote on social media last week, including a senior writer from Entertainment Weekly named Anthony Bresnikan.
That quote almost seems too good to be true, right?
It does.
Whenever you see like these quotes, it'll be Abraham Lincoln saying something.
And then you find out he never really said it.
Yeah, he never said it. Mr. Rogers said that, and I knew from experience that Mr. Rogers was like that in real life.
Which is why, when Anthony shared the helper quote, he added a personal story from when he was in college that made it all the more poignant. On Twitter, he began, I was struggling, lonely, dealing with a lot of broken pieces and not adjusting well. Then one day, he said he walked into an empty commons with the TV on.
And there was Mr. Rogers. I just stood there, mesmerized.
He watched the entire episode and felt a little better.
You'll want to talk about.
But says the real fix came a few days later.
Yeah, I'm going downstairs to the lobby of the student union and the elevator opens and Mr. Rogers is standing there. And I just got in the elevator and he said, were you one of my television neighbors? I was like, yes, I was one of your neighbors.
Anthony told him how he'd just watched the show and how it made him feel better.
He sat down and he said, would you like to tell me what was upsetting you? I didn't have anybody that I could talk to like that. I feel like his trolley car. I fell off the tracks. He put me back on. And that was all I needed. And at one point I said, I'm really sorry. I hope I'm not tying you up and you have somewhere else to go. And he said, sometimes you're in just the right place.
I look for the people who are trying to help.
Mr. Rogers was in just the right place again last week, reminding us to look for the helpers, the first responders, the global leaders, and caring neighbors across the world who still outnumber evil 1,000,000 to 1.
So the context of that clip was the bombing at that concert venue in Manchester, England, where quite a few people were killed. So here's this guy, Mr. Rogers, that's been on TV for, you know, had been on TV for a long, long time and talked a lot about what it meant to be a neighbor. And then we see that he actually lived what he spoke about. He believed it. So we started this scripture verse with love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your being, with all your mind and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And I think sometimes we tend to separate those two things. We say, yes, I love God and I love my neighbor, but what if when we love our neighbor, that is how we love God? I think those two are combined. You can't separate them. You can't just love God by just coming to church and observing religious rituals. You need that second piece. And that second piece is inextricably linked to loving God. So we talked a little bit about this idea of family promise coming to Riverside, and we have this opportunity as a church to bring this organization and this idea to the city of Riverside. And so this is one thing that we could do as a church. Is it a little bit risky? Yeah, there's some things that people might think are a little risky. But I don't think that anything we do, if we're really doing it right, I don't think there can be no risk involved. It is going to require risk. It requires risk of us sort of putting ourselves out there. It requires risk of trying things that we might not want to try. And so that's kind of what this whole thing is about today. Jesus says, who of these three was a neighbor to the man who encountered the thieves? And the legal expert said, the one who demonstrated mercy toward him. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. Amen. Please pray with me. Watching God, they may not be beaten down or lying by the road, but there are people we pass by. Some are family and friends that we take so much for granted. We cannot see how we have stripped them of our love and compassion. Others are neighbors who have been left half dead by crushing work, who have fallen into the hands of despair, who have been abandoned by all those who walk on by them. Many are strangers, people we don't know, but quickly judge. They are weak or poor or the enemy, or because they remind us of who we once were or could become. Rescue us from the power of our sins, righteous one. Pour out your justice on us rather than your judgment, that we would be moved with pity and spurred to action, that we would hear of the hope that is ours and share it with our sisters and brothers, that we would shower mercy on all we meet, even as we have received forgiveness for our sins through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.